Good morning, UCC. Today is a very interesting show because we are not live today. As you know, I'm your host, Manisha, with My Life in a Suitcase. And today is the very, very last episode of My Life in a Suitcase in this semester. Well, we had our last live episode on Monday, like last Monday, and it was pretty much fun. We had an amazing, amazing Ukrainian guest, and it was... It was such a heart-to-heart talk, talking to her about her journey from Ukraine during war and coming to Ireland and setting up her life. And today we have another amazing guest with us. And before I introduce her to you, I just want to mention that today is the last show of My Life in a Suitcase in this semester. Hopefully we will return next semester with more amazing guests, and we have loads to talk about and many amazing people to share their lives and their suitcases with us. So today with us in the podcast studio is Farahnaz Haydari. Welcome, Farahnaz. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much.
Farahnaz Haydari, I'm very proud to say that, because Farahnaz Haydari is an Afghan woman just like me. She's had different roles to play in Afghanistan, and the most recent one was she was head of financial audit of the government. She was part of the high inspection of Afghanistan's government, and she has done a lot of good work. So Farahnaz Haydari was born in Ghazni province in 1989. And for many of you who don't know where Ghazni is one of the large provinces of Afghanistan. It is a lovely, lovely place, but as similar to many other provinces of Afghanistan, it's a very main dominating society. And for a woman to be able to work hard and come from a Ghazni province to be educated, to make a future and a name for herself, it is very, very difficult, and only the most brave ones can do that. So I am very proud, and I think it's a privilege for me to be able to talk to Farahnaz Haydari today, to have her as a guest on this podcast. So Farahnaz, please tell us about your life before coming to Ireland.
Thank you so much for inviting me in your beautiful program. I'm Farahnaz Haydari from Afghanistan. As you told, I was born in Ghazni province, the most insecure province of Afghanistan that has a lot of limitation of the culture for improving women. I want to start it from my education from Ghazni, that how I get educated. As I was living in a village of Ghazni province that was far, around 40 minutes from Afghanistan, from Ghazni province. And it was on that time also in control of the Taliban. And the girls didn't have rights to continue their education after the sixth class. But fortunately, by the support of my mother and my family, I could pass my 12th grade mm-hmm. in Ghazni province. And regularly, I had trip to the Ghazni province every day with my mom. Because there was not allowed to girls to go alone mm-hmm. in the Ghazni province. That was a difficult time for me, and I will never forget that, because my mom had a lot of difficulties with me, especially when I was at class for studying. Mm-hmm. She was waiting for me in kindergarten, and that was so difficult, around 6 hours or 7 hours.
Every day after school, she was waiting for you.
Yes, every day. Amazing. And that was something that, because my mother had some sickness also, and that was so difficult for me. But every time I remember to myself, yes, Farah, it is, it will pass, and you should suffer this because you want to do something different. So you need to do different also. The same time, when I was a student at the school, and I was just 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But I started to teach other girls in my village because they didn't have the ability to come to the province. And from the morning, I was studied. Mm-hmm. And from the evening, I was teaching them. My student was older than me. Mm-hmm. Because that was, they didn't know the reading and writing. And there is like a family and friendship and something like that. But with supporting one of my teachers at the school, I got a project from the choir. Mm-hmm. It was a project that helped by American people to Afghanistan. At the first, they had the problem. They told me that your child, you are just 10 years old.
And you were 10 years old at the time?
Yeah. And wow. You cannot do it. But I told, this is just only thing that I have now, and I should do something for my village girls. After some time, they realized that, yes, you can do it. And they appreciated it and said, okay, you are best and you are better than other teachers that we have in the province. Because I was told I had tried to make a game for them with beans, with matches. Just I do to learn it, to make it easy for them.
Amazing.
And they were so happy. After that, I could complete my school, and I, as you know, we have a concours examination. Mm-hmm. And I passed the concours. And fortunately, I could go to Kabul province, the capital of Afghanistan. That was a fantastic for me because it was my dream to go to the Kabul University. And I continued my education there in economics.
Yeah.
The same time, I didn't forget the girls that they were in Ghazni, and they were also in Kabul and lots of province, because you know that in Afghanistan, even in the Republic time, mm-hmm. we had security in Kabul province, but we didn't have security in a lot of the province around the Kabul.
Definitely. Even in Kabul, there were terrorist attacks every other day, and it was not very safe, especially for women. But still, as you said, there was some stability that we could go to our work and go to universities and all. So that was,
yes, yeah. And but in province, we had more difficulty
definitely.
Than Kabul.
Yeah, definitely.
So I started my own organization, the non-profit organization by the name of Afghanistan Development Youth Support Organization. Mm-hmm. And I started to work for the women that were in Ghazni, in Kandahar, in Herat, and in Kabul. And me and my team, we covered this four provinces. That was something that really was my interest. Mm-hmm. And we worked hard, not just me, all of the members that I had in my team. Because we were a student and we were busy with our lessons. But in evening, in night, in holidays, in weekend, we did something good for them, especially for awareness their rights mm-hmm. for women, for healthcare, for their education. Just we find some scholarship for the people that they need. And for the help, the people that they lost their husband or their brother in the suicide attack mm-hmm. or in war. The difficult time was that the people that they lost their parents or their relationship in the war for me, because they were so upset and they said, what will be the advantage of this, that we lost our close relationship in this country and one day it will be good. And every time I said, yes, one day it will be good. But now that is difficult for me, because when they sent me a message that just how are you, I didn't have anything for saying to them, because this is something that everything was multiplied by zero. Even the young generation that we lost in the duration of the war in Afghanistan. And on that time, that was good. Me and some of the organization, they had a similar activity like me. we did a lot of things good for them, but now we don't have access to help them. We don't have ability to help them. And especially they don't have the money for the care of the children, for simple basic necessity that they need for their life. And that make me so upset and make me to be powerful and work harder and harder here, because here I have opportunity, I have facilities, I can do something. And I try to do something even for them if I can do it. And for that now I wanted to start my own society here and continue the, my previous organization here, because it is the way that we can work with the people. It is the way that we can help the people, separate of the politics, separate of the benefit, separate of the everything. Just we can focus on humanity. And for me, the humanity is my priority, and I will focus on humanity. Beside that, the same time, I was involved with a project with USAID. That was the aim was that for improving the empowering the woman on leadership of Afghanistan. Fortunately, I could be the one person that after the exam I could join to Supreme Audit Office. And I started from the junior position. As you know, we call it the best of punch or five step. And but I tried and I worked hard and hard and hard, and I got to third step or best three. And we call
which is one of the top ones. Which is one of the top ones, because the Prime Minister has the first ones. So that is quite a high position.
Thank you. And as a audit financial statement, we audit all of statement, financial statement of all governments of Afghanistan, include all of the ministries, the offices that we had. That was incredible achievement for me, because I could understand everything that before just I think about that, but after that I could understand that how should I work with the people, how should I do, how should I suggest something for the government, because in this side I work with the people, I know the problem of the people, in this side I work with the government, and I have both sides for myself. And I had a closer relationship with the Parliament of Afghanistan, because my department was something that had the relationship with the Parliament, and we had a lot of seminars with them, because we had a committee in Parliament that was working for bringing transparency in government. And we had a trip with that member of that committee, the, that called PAC committee, the public committee, accounting committee, the public accounting committee that was working for transparency. And in England, we met with the Parliament of England, and we had some recommendation and advice from the them that how we can improve our PAC committee to work better for bringing transparency in Afghanistan. That was a good trip with around 12 members of the parliament, me and our deputy general and one of our colleagues. After that, we could make a mechanism for relationship between the Supreme Audit Office and Parliament, and doing something important and good for spending the budget of Afghanistan in a benefit of the public, not just one person. That was something that really useful for the government, and we got a report that name's Katia, and every year to Parliament, that that report shows the expenditure and the income of the government for the people. because the parliament is the representative of the people. Mm-hmm. And we got the report to the parliament. The parliament announced that where is the some finding that we had, and where is some recommendation and the advice that they should do it for the next year. They was something that the people like it, and also we had another department that they should have the attention of the people for that. That was my job in government, and that was for organization. And for organization, I had around 4,000 beneficiaries for my organization. Especially the one thing that I did it in last.
So sorry, I'm sneezing and coughing in between.
No okay. problem. For the people that they lost their relationship in the war, and we got some scholarship for them. That was, I think, my last activity for the education for them, because after that the Taliban came and all of the people of Afghanistan, including me, we stopped our activity.
Wow, that's incredible. Like, I mean, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to listen to our podcasts or our live sessions from before. Every week, I invite a very amazing, super powerful person. It's amazing week after week to listen to their stories. But your story is unique in its way, because it reminds me of Malala, and it just shows me that people like you should get more recognition, because what you have done, coming from a village in Ghazni, which was under Taliban regime at that time, to come to become such a high rank officer in Afghanistan government in Kabul in such a short time and acquire such achievements. Maybe for our listeners, you might think that, oh, this is just another story, but it is not, because to understand that, you need to understand how Afghanistan works. You need to understand how many steps Farah Naz might have taken and how much courage. Like, you need a line of a, you need a heart of a lioness to be in that position. Because to me, because I come from the same country, from the same background, so I want our listeners to understand that to come from a village where it is under the reign of Taliban and go every day to the city to study. I know it might not be very easy for them to understand, but the thing is, even during good times in Afghanistan, many, many smaller villages were under the reign of Taliban. For example, in Herat, Herat city was under the government's reign, but then just our neighbor, all our neighbor cities, they were under reign of yes. Taliban. And when we would be traveling by road, we can see Taliban standing there, yes, you know. Yes, yes. The same thing is with Ghazni. So for a girl to come every day from the village to study in the city, it means that they could see her every day traveling, and they know the purpose of it. So that is like your mother put her life and your life in danger every day just to take you to school so you can get that knowledge. And that shows empowerment of one Afghan woman empowering her daughter. That is against all the stereotypes that are set for us Afghan women. People think that if we are from a village, we might be just sitting somewhere doing nothing, bringing children, and that is our life. But that's not true. You see, like your mother, a woman herself, coming from a background of not very highly educated, but she understood the meaning yeah. and importance of education. She stood against all the other people, your relatives, your male community in that village, against the Taliban who are ruling that village at that time, and brought you every day just so that you can get a future, so you can come out of Afghanistan, so you can be who you are today. And that's really a very proud moment that shows how brave Afghan mothers can be, you know, and it's not very easy. Then for you to come to Kabul University and study, and you and me, because we're both from the same country, we understand that it is not very easy.
No.
First, being a woman. Second, being someone who is not from the center. Though Kabul is a lovely city, but a lot of politics was going on yeah. there. for a girl to come from Ghazni province to be able to complete her education in Kabul University, it is not very easy.
Yes, that's not easy.
Yeah, and you did that.
Yeah, fortunately.
And also with that, to be able to get into these projects that were being run by different countries like America and all, that is also not easy. Many, many of our listeners, they have no idea what type of a lifestyle Afghan women have led in the past 20 years. So, and that is why it hurts more than why it has gone into darkness now. For you to be able to get into a project, to be part of a woman in leadership project, there is so many different steps, so much hardship to be good, to be able to be good in English, to be able to be top of your class, to be able to surpass all the other people with connections so you can have a place in there. It is very, very difficult, and that needs a lot of hard work, a lot of hard work. Like, as much as I say, still it is still that limit is low, you know, but still you have done so well. And then to be able to be one of the top of those girls, to be able to get a position in Afghan government, God, that is so difficult.
Thank you so much. I remember what your sentences, that one day when I present my report to Mr. Ashraf Ghani, he told me that, I cannot believe that you are an Afghan woman. He told me, and that was something for me that I never forget it. And all of my colleagues clapped for me and say, yes, you are great. That day I saw and I called my mom. I said, yes, you helped me. And now I'm in front of the presence of Afghanistan. And he told like this. It is something that you know because you were in that situation and you can understand that everything that we did. But we cannot forget, Manisha, that the Afghan girls and women like us, maybe some of them is more intelligent than me, but they don't have the facility, they don't have the possibility. And they don't have one person to support them. Like my mom, that if she didn't support me, I couldn't be in this place. And for that, I'm so worried that, because I remember my students in Ghazni, they were so intelligent. And one of them one day told me that, can we call you in another name? I said, why? Because I was tried. I couldn't understand it. They said, because if the Taliban come and ask you, that will be danger for you. We can call you in another name in here, but you can be in your name in Ghazni. And that was a solution. And when I shared it with the supervisor, he said, yes, that is a good suggestion. Because in here, if someone asks you, you will be in danger. This is something that I want to say that now in Ireland, when I'm in this situation, I want to do something different, even here. You know that here is also a lot of difficulties for the immigrations, for the new situation, new environment, new language, because English is not our native language, and we have a lot of problem for the understanding of that. And a lot of the time, maybe it happened for misunderstanding. But I want to try to do something useful for that woman also in Afghanistan, and also the immigrants that they are here, but they don't have courage like me, because the only thing that I have, I think, is self-confidence. That fortunately I have this, and I can use my qualification with this self-confidence. But lots of women, they don't have that. And I want to help them.
And I'm sure you will definitely do that. You will definitely do that. There's still, you have a very long way to go. So going back to what we were talking, how difficult was it to work in the audit office in such a high position? You can only answer if you're comfortable with that. Because we know there was a lot of corruption going on in Afghanistan, and it was not easy to be a woman, an honest woman in Afghanistan, working in such a high position, standing in front of so many strong, powerful people and presenting them the idea of how to be honest and not spend the government's money in corruption. How did you tackle the job?
It was really difficult, and you cannot imagine when sometimes I had to go to other province for audit also. Because in some projects we needed to go to that office, maybe in Kandahar, maybe in Herat, maybe in Ghazni. That was my province, but that was insecure. And in the district of the Kabul, you know that we have four district, like 16 district. Mm. And you know that district was so insecure, but I had to go there. Mm-hmm. And my team, all of them was in danger, on risk, because as you told, the corruption is something that no one likes auditor.
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah, and I faced with the problem, like, we should, I was so careful about, especially my team, because I had the responsibility of these persons also. And that was not easy for me to bring them in a risk. The thing that I did it was I took all of the responsibility for myself. And when I write something by the name of Estelam, that you know, mm-hmm. and the paper that we ask something yeah.
from any office.
I signed by myself. That was the solution that I had. And I called them that everything that I want to bring for me, documentation, I called them by myself, because I didn't want to face another person for them. And also one of the solution was that we should keep something after that we come out from that office, because we couldn't to recognize that for them before, because if we were there, that will be dangerous for us. That was something that especially in one of the report we treated also by some persons, that why you bring this in your report.
Yeah.
Because that was not a legal expenditure, that was illegal expenditure. And even we had this by our auditor general. He said, no problem, you can bring it in your report, and I can, and you can define it in the parliament. And we had that in parliament, and we had a tough discussion in the parliament about that. We had a lot of problems, but we didn't stop, because our mission and our vision was to bring transparency in the republic expenditure and income of Afghanistan. That was the solution that we had, and I tried to be in a second step. We had a project by the name of Change Project that was supported by the World Bank. Mm-hmm. And I was successful on that. And I took that position as a second. Mm-hmm. But the Taliban came, and I couldn't even have 1 month my salary there, because the Taliban came and everything was that. But I took it in danger, and some of that person told me that when you will get this position, the Taliban will come, because he was the person that he knows that what happened in the future in Afghanistan. And I told him, no problem, we will be there and we can work.
How did it make you feel when the government collapsed, and like me, like you, like thousands of us, we were let down? And then though we all know that for the past many years everybody knew that when Taliban is coming, but then it was delayed for some reasons, like it was just information for some specific people. Then finally, like just few months before Taliban arrival, kind of all people in all organizations, they knew that something really bad is going to happen. But still there was a hope. There was a hope that maybe these are just rumors. There was a hope that how can it's possible, like after this much progress, how is it possible that we can go back in all that darkness? And then, but as the days came nearby, then we thought, oh, maybe this time when the Taliban come, they will be maybe changed. They will be progressed. They will be advanced. Maybe it will be just a government change, but all the structure will stay in place. But then, you know, every hope keep breaking, you know, step by step. How did you feel when Kabul fell, when you knew that everything is over now?
That was unbelievable for me, because even on that day that the Taliban came, I was going to health ministry. One of the group was there, and I want to join to them to add it. I was the middle of the way that one of my colleagues called me and said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm near to health ministry, and there is some stop because I don't know." He said, "Come back to home because the Taliban came." And I couldn't stop my crying, because I couldn't believe that the Taliban came on that way. We did a lot of good things, and all of the people of Afghanistan know, and especially we and me and our colleagues, because we audited nearly the Ministry of Defense and the Ministry of the Police. But we had a lot of good soldiers, a lot of possibilities, a lot of facilities. And I will never, believe that on that facility, possibility and soldiers and capacity, we can be in that situation.
We can be defeated by Taliban.
Yeah, that was really, that was not believable for me. But something that was, when I arrived at home after, I think, from health ministry, that I, after 4 hours, I arrived at home, because there was no car, there was no, I had to come by walking and sometimes by car. It was not a good situation. All of the people running, all of the people worried, everyone said, "Taliban camp." And I was calling my colleague that, "Where are you?" Because they are in the ministry. I thought if they will be there and the Taliban came, what will happen with them? Some of my colleagues were in the province, and especially in Kandahar. And I didn't have connection with them. I tried many times, but I didn't have connection. I was worried about them. That situation is not something that I can forget, or something that I can say. Because it is something that if some person will be dear, he or she can understand the feeling of that. That was so difficult, and that was not good.
Were you expecting the president to leave Afghanistan like that to Taliban and take all the money with him? Is that even true that they've taken all the money with them? You might know that because you were the auditor.
But after that, I didn't add it. Be honest, no, I didn't have this expectation from the Mr. Ashraf Ghani, because in every meeting he said that he will take the care of the Afghan people. In every meeting, he motivated us that yes, we will do that, and he had a lot of suggestion for our office, like bringing new system, and he brought a new qualification for our supermodel office by the name of ACCA, the Charter Accountant. And even I did that, because the one of the requirement that they had for being for me, that I should be the second position, was that you should have ACCA, and I went to the American University for that. That was the new system that Ashraf Ghani brought in the offices. So according to that, when I thought that he had this much plan for future, and that was the fundamental, and He expend a lot of money for that, for the all of the ministries, not just for Supreme Audit Office. And he brought a lot of changes for the leadership of the ministries and the offices.
Yeah, especially he involved a lot of youth. Like, a lot of youth power was involved in making decisions and giving advice in advisory committees and all. And that it all just...
Yeah. But beside that, it was not possible for living like this. And I couldn't believe that. I hope one day I can meet him from near, face to face, and I can ask him that, why you did like this? Especially the women, that they were the part of the government, and they had a lot of difficulties in every position, not just in a position like me, even in the junior position, they had their own difficulties. And but you put all of them in a tough situation and alone, because we know that lots of them now, they don't have the simple food for their family, but they don't have job. And this is the reason, because you go alone outside of the Afghanistan.
That's true. So then from there, your journey and your journey started to come to Ireland. And here you're doing a lot of good work. So would you like to tell us about that?
Yes, why not? I should mention that I didn't like to be outside of Afghanistan for a living. And I didn't image that one day I am a citizenship or a refugee in some countries. Because in the position that I was, the position, I had a lot of trip in foreign countries, especially in England. And I had a lot of opportunity to come outside and to leave. But I came back to my home country because I had commitment with my country and with my people. In every speech that I had in my own organization, in events, in Supreme Audit Office, I said to people, yes, you can go outside of the Afghanistan, take education, improve your skill, but come back in Afghanistan and work because this country needs you. But unfortunately, on that day that I have to leave the Afghanistan was the day that I didn't have a hope even for my life, because according to activity that I did in Afghanistan for my organization, for the government, both of them, there was so difficult for me to be there. And if I didn't care of myself, but I was responsible for the many, many, many people there, because I had beneficiary around 4,000 that I told you. And my family, my relative, my friends, neighbor, all of them liked me, and they told me, when we see you, we get courage. When we see you, we get motivated. And every time I said to him, yes, everything will be good. I had a lot of workshop for the motivate the youngs, the girls, the women. When I thought with myself and I say, okay, if you don't care of yourself and you be in Afghanistan, but who will work for these people? And who can bring a smile in their face? Because now, if I didn't do anything, but when I speak with them and I say something good for them, just they smile. That is the only thing that I can do it now. And according to that, I chose to come outside of Afghanistan. I tried a lot of ways, but fortunately, the Ireland was the country that I need to say thank you for the government of Ireland from this station and from the people of the Ireland that they accept as a part of their society. That they told welcome to us, and I came here. When I came here, I realized that I should work hard, especially in my language, because I didn't know English before. And one of the requirements of Afghanistan also, that every time that told me that you don't know English, this is the problem. But here I tried to improve my English, and I came to UCC. I started at the first the English, and next I will do for my master. In this duration, in short time, just I could be a member of UCC Refugee Society as a conference director, and I have worked with them and. Our events, two of our events received award this year, one mental health and another refugee week. And that was our achievement for the society. And I was also as a speaker in their events. This is something that I could do it. And for the being the voice of Afghan woman and Afghan girl, and also the immigrants that they are in Ireland. I regularly write something in a magazine, monthly magazine, that shows that my voice for them, just something that now I can do it. And then third step that now I'm working on that and it is in progress. It is the society that I want to make it with some of my friends that we want to work for the immigrants here and help the women and girls like before.
That is amazing. That's a fantastic idea. And I'm sure you will do that. And our Afghan community, especially the women, they really need it. They really need that. So I'm very, very proud of that. As a person yourself, one thing that really hurt me when I was in Afghanistan when Taliban came was like, many of the Afghan women, like I think 90% of us, we were always in hijab.
Yes.
We were always, even in schools and universities, 90% of Afghan women were always following the Islamic rules. We were proud of our country. We are proud of our religion. And we were never somebody that we had to be taken like sheep to the direction, you know? But when Taliban came, they kind of made it look like Afghan women, especially the ones who are educating or who are outside or who are working, maybe they are not worthy of the religion. Maybe they are all bad. Maybe we are all like. For me, the hardest moment was when Taliban Minister of Education went on live TV and he said that, "Why do you want to send your girls to universities, and universities are places of prostitution?" And it was being an academic and a associate professor myself, it was a very difficult moment for that, to think that like a minister of education of a country can go on live TV and say something like that. But at the same time, I would see, at the same time that Taliban would be rejecting me, my colleagues, though we were very simple women just teaching in universities, and seeing like women like you who are in high ranks and the government, but Taliban ignoring all of us at the same time as if we are some kind of bad fruit, I would say, you know. But at the same time, they would be very proud to invite women from the United Nations, women from Pakistan leadership, women from other countries who are coming to Afghanistan as politicians, meeting Taliban, and Taliban will be standing in front of them and talking and speaking. And so that is the moment that made me the most angry, that what is wrong with an Afghan woman that you don't think we can be strong enough to, and though we have never been out of line, like 90% of Afghan women, in my perspective, I might be wrong, but that is what my observation is from my country. We have always been in line in our religion, in our family, and we have done good. The other 10%, every country has different. Even those 10%, I wouldn't say they are wrong. They just have their own beliefs, you know. So yes, that's what I would say. How did it make you feel? You know, from looking at you, you are a woman who covers herself properly. I don't think there is anything from your religion that you would not accept. Even when I was talking to you 2-3 times, every time you told me like how it is in Afghan culture, you would say, "Oh, let me discuss it with my family, discuss it with my husband, then I will tell you." So that shows like That is what your family beliefs are. That is what your religious beliefs are. So if Taliban are really following Islam, if they're really following the religion that me and you follow, they should be proud of having a woman like you in the government trying to bring, you know, trying to bring honesty in the government lines. How does it make you feel?
You're true, but I want to mention something here that, as you know, the Taliban didn't follow the Islam by yourself. And especially when we think that the education that started with the Iqra, that means you should read in our religion. And the Prophet Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him, told that you should be educated under your you should be educated even you are near to die. And something that is, they act different, the Taliban, they act just, in my opinion, they want to show Islam in different way to the world. They want to say that Islam is like this, but Islam is not like that, that the Taliban show to the world. And the Taliban, from my opinion, they are not Muslim. Because the Muslim, the Islam, the priority for the Muslim and the Islam is humanity. And in Islam, they say that you should not put a risk in a human, or you should not kill a human. And but they are, they did, and they are doing. Because I said they did, because they did a lot of explosion, a lot of war. But now they are doing because they don't allow the people to go to the school, to university, to picnic, to beauty salon, to doing social working. And this is also to kill, because they kill the people courage, they kill the people dream.
Yeah.
And it is not in Islam. You know better than me that it is not in Islam that you don't have the right of to disturb someone.
Yeah.
But this is that they have respect for the other woman that they coming in Afghanistan. This is just policy. Just they use it for they use it like this, that we have respect, and but they don't. In reality, they don't have, but just they want to show. But it is clear from their action, because when you say that a girl up to sixth grade, she doesn't allow to go to the school, or a boy, she is allowed, but he had a lot of limitation for their study. He should not study English. He should not study computer science. This is education. This is something that the Taliban, from my opinion, they are not Muslim, and they don't have the right of to be the representative of the Islamic culture. Because Islamic culture is it is not like this. Islamic culture is a friendship. Islamic culture is a helping the humanity, supporting the human. It is something that you should, if you don't if you have one bread for eating and I don't have, you should divide it with me. Definitely. In Islamic.
Definitely.
But you should not take the bread from the human, but they are take the bread from a lot of the women that they are working in the government, in their angels. Now, this is the taking the food from them.
Definitely.
It is not in Islam.
No, not at all.
And
thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. Because this is the image that hurts me. This is something, this is not the Afghanistan that we really are from, and this is not the religion that we follow.
Yes.
And we don't want people like Taliban representing our religion are saying that this is what it is, but because it is not true.
Yes.
And also I'm very, like, every time I invite an Afghan woman on this show, I feel very proud, because I don't like the stereotyping of saying that Afghanistan is only a man-dominating society, and our men, they don't let their women to progress, to advance, to work, to study, because that is not true. And there are thousands of examples like you, and maybe 100,000 like me, and we are all Afghan women, and we are flourishing. Sometimes I even think maybe we are very strong and we are very brave. That is why everybody just want to suppress us. Like, look around. We are the only country whose women are not allowed to progress anymore. We must be doing something really good.
Yes, I want to add something that they don't want the woman for involving in the society. Because the woman has the leading part of the family and they grew up their children. If the woman be educated, the family will be educated, the society will be educated, and no one can do something like this now in the society like Taliban. And the only thing that they are afraid of the woman is that if we have the woman educated in a family, we have a knowledgeable society and we cannot do anything that we want. This is the reason that they want to separate the woman from the societies, from the humanity. But I should also, we should not forget the men also, because a lot of men in Afghanistan now, beside us, they suffer this pain because they are working, because they have to work. But they don't like them. They don't like their policy. They are something that they lost their family member in their attack. But now they are they have to speak and in with kind word with them because they want to support their family. And men are also under stress with this regime of the Taliban, not just women.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, time flies by so quickly. So one last question. How do you feel here now as a refugee, as a woman who wears hijab, as someone that you feel now is not in a place that you wish to be, you know, not getting the dreams you wanted to be, you know, like everything has changed now. How do you feel now here as a refugee?
It is something that when I chose to come to Ireland and I searched something, that one thing that was similar to my country, was they were also stood up for their rights, for getting their independence from the England, UK. And our country also, they are stood up for their rights in front of Russia.
Yeah.
This was the something. And the second, they passed also difficulties like famine. And we passed this difficulties in many, many times, you know. This is gave me the idea that, yes, it has some similarity with my country and Ireland. And we can find my people here because they have the same pain and they have the same dream for being independent and for being improvement and for doing good. So I couldn't achieve my dream in my country, but I want to achieve my dream here. I transfer it here. Just the place is different, but the people, the society, it is something similar. Life taught me a lot of good things that never you can find it in textbooks, in classroom. I learned from my life in Afghanistan, in doing a lot of the working, that if you want to be support some person, you should be powerful. In the position that I was in Afghanistan, I got it with my power. I didn't got it with any person helping. Just I tried and I worked hard. But I wasn't involved directly in politics. It was maybe the weakness that I had. If I was involved, maybe I can do it better things.
Definitely.
And that was something for the future because I didn't thought like this when at the first my village was not agree to doing my education, but second when they did that I have the relationship with parliament, promoted office, they came to me and they told me that you should be the representative of Ghazni in parliament. I told them, yes, now I have a lot of things to do. I will do it for next time. But everything was not good. But here, I want to be involved in the politics of Ireland. I want to work hard because if I have a power, I can do more for the society, for the myself. We cannot say that just we can do something for the society, that this is just something like slang, but we can do, if we do something for ourselves, then we can do something for society. And this is my aim, that here, you know, that we have a lot of Afghan people in the Cork.
Yeah.
And they need, and they are powerful, they are intelligent, they are educated, especially the women that we have and the men. And we need to just a little work with them, yeah, to be a strong part of this society, this new society. Because we all know that we accepted that now we will be the Irish. And we accepted that when they told us welcome honestly, we will do working for them honestly.
Definitely.
And we will accept them as our society. And we try to integrate other that they are coming newly in Ireland. And this is something that I feel that, yes, I have opportunity. I have qualification. I have a lot of the people around me from my country, from my friends, my members. And we can do something useful for both sides, for Afghan, for immigrants, for Ireland. This is our country, and we will not forget our own country. We can do something for them from here, but our aspect or our focus is here, because our future is here.
Definitely.
Our generation, like your children, my children, other children, they are here. Yeah. And we should think about that. Yeah. And we will do something for that. I feel good. This is something that maybe, because in our belief, we say that Allah knows everything, and He knows that we have ability, and He put us in this situation.
Yeah.
He brought this opportunity for us. So we can do something better, and according to hijab that you told me, I don't have any problem. Up to now, I didn't have any problem, and I don't have any problem. Every person has respect to me, and that was interesting for me, that I heard from my one friend that 2 days before, she said that, "I like your religion. Now I understand that why you are covering yourself." That was interesting for me, and I said, "Thank you." But it is something that came to our quote of Hadhrat Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he said that respect is not for yourself. If you respect someone, you don't respect that one. You respect yourself, because every action has a reaction. Yeah. And now I have respect for my society, and they have respect for me. And I don't have any problem. And I don't think that it's called like limitation for me for achieving my goal. It is through my identity, mm-hmm, and it is through my commitment to my religion. And I think it is valuable for others that they are around me.
That is amazing, and that is superb. Thank you very much, Farhanas, to be with us today.
Thank you so much.
And as an Afghan woman, I want to say on this podcast, you lead, and me and many others like me, we will follow you. We will support you.
Thank you so much.
Because that is what womanhood is about, and that is what being Afghan is about. Because all of us, we don't have that qualification or that capacity or that patience or that planning to follow that road. But we do have this capacity to support someone like you have that quality and that qualification. And definitely you will have our support. At least you will have mine, and I'm sure many others will follow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for thinking like that. Thank you so much for being on the show today, for bringing so much positivity and so much love and so much positive thinking regarding to religion, regarding to inclusivity with a new culture. You have brought today so much hope to us, and you have, you know, mostly on this show, when the show is near ending, we are all very emotional and sometimes overwhelmed, sometimes sad, sometimes happy. But today it is hope. This is the message that we are taking. And thank you so much for
that. Thank you so much. I promise you that in next time I will call you and I will have a meeting for the introducing our society.
I would really, really love that, and I will look forward to that. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. It was really, really lovely today talking to Farahnaz. Farahnaz is one of those very, very few women who can bring a lot of good change in this world. And it is our duty to support and follow and be someone to help them bring that change. Because every one of us, each one of us, cannot bring a change in a single entity. But if we all gather, become a cluster, and follow one strong leader who is bringing that change, definitely we will be able to bring some goodness to this world. With this thought, I will say bye, and I hope that you all enjoy this summer break. Have loads of fun, enjoy, do all the things you wish to do, and we will come back happy and energized and with many more amazing, powerful guests, and we will bring their stories to you. So till then, bye.
Goodbye.
Khuda hafiz and ciao.
Khuda hafiz.